What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour, brought to you by the Sit or Start Fantasy app. It is good to be back. I hope you missed me because, yeah, I've been gone for a few weeks. A lot of things have happened in the meantime. Luckily, though, I'm all caught up. I listened to the pod while you guys were gone. So nice job, John Bosch, on his last pod. Nice job to have Tim back. And Tyler was okay. I liked him better on Sonic Truth.
Yeah, good job on Sonic Truth, Tyler.
Yeah, that was, let's just say, I've never had so much to talk about and not actually able to talk about it. But I got a couple, you know, I got a couple dad jokes in, you know, the per the use, the Pringle and Pop one was probably my go-to.
That was a good one. I did enjoy that one. That was vintage Tyler.
Oh, yeah. And my points per pass block at the end with the bloopers was my favorite. I wish he would have kept it in. But he was talking about how, you know, how Wadley was undersized, and I'm like, yeah, he won't do well in a point per pass block league. And Matt kind of stumbled a little bit, and he's like, what? And I'm like, you know, the leagues where they count, you know, the pass block, you get a point per pass block. And he goes, what? And I'm like, I'm kidding.
He was a little slow on the sarcasm.
Yeah. But I mean, he also the Pringle one. He was very disappointed in himself that he didn't think of that because. Yeah, it was a lob. He lobbed it to me.
Yeah, and you know what you did? You grabbed it and you dunked it on home. It was great. It was beautiful.
I dunked it out of the park.
Absolutely. So we are here this week to go over some of our risers and fallers post-combine. So the combine was this past weekend. I caught almost all of it. Some of it live. The running backs on Friday I watched live, and then I caught up on the DVR because I had a busy weekend up in New Hampshire. My niece turned 2, so happy birthday to those that aren't listening that are 2 years old. And if you're listening, then you're awesome.
We love you. If you're 2 and you're listening, good for you.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a great way to learn the English language is by listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm going to have to tell you that much.
I mean, you are well on your way for dad jokes, bad puns. You could be the best at being the worst. Jokes.
Absolutely. So yeah, I was able to catch up with the combine. Thank God for a DVR. Raise your hand if you don't have a DVR. All right, cool. You don't have a DVR, Tyler?
I do not. I don't actually have cable.
Okay, so that would be a good reason as to why. What do you use for TV, if you don't mind me asking?
PlayStation View, which is amazing, and I, you know, have Netflix. I have Vudu, which we buy a lot of movies on.
I got a lot of digital copies on Vudu, so
yeah. Hear that. Amazon Prime, Hulu. So
nice. I'm going to be a free agent in October. We have Cox Cable here in Rhode Island. Very good. COX.
So that it's not very good.
It's bad Cox. I wanted good Cox, but I couldn't get it.
Well, maybe you should go behind its back and see if there's a better Cox.
Do you feel like you're getting boned?
I totally feel like I'm getting boned because the internet is spotty. The cable's okay, but I'm paying almost $200 a month. So I think in October when my lovely contract is up, I think I'm going to maybe check out YouTube TV, maybe some Sling. I got options. As long as I can get AMC, HBO, and sports, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah, maybe you should stop faking it.
That's true. This used to be Doug Eddy 2018, the search for a better Cox.
Hashtag that, people. Hashtag that.
Cox Cable.
Let's get that trending.
So enough about me, Tim, and Tyler. Let's get into some
of our... don't bring me into that.
Oh, okay. I'll bring you in, all right. All right, so let's get into some positions. We're going to start with positions.
Let's get into some positions.
This is going to be a lot of sexual innuendos in this episode, I feel. So feel free to lob them out there.
So people who are 2 and listening still, turn it off and hand the phone to daddy.
This is your first sex ed class here at the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's a beautiful thing. So let's talk about quarterbacks. You know, we want to talk about some risers and fallers in what we watched at the combine. So let's start with Tim. So what did you observe from the quarterback position? Give me one of your risers and one of your fallers right off the bat. We'll mix it up a little.
What I observed overall from this quarterback class at the combine was too many guys playing it safe. I saw a lot of guys out there in the passing drills. You get the receivers running the corner routes, the post routes, you know, the outcuts, and too many of these quarterbacks are trying to time things. They're throwing to guys maybe they've never thrown to before, and you're not seeing that normal zip on the ball. I think when it came to risers and fallers, I'm still very intrigued by Kyle Laletta out of Richmond, the quarterback there. When it comes to the NFL draft, I think he could be a mid to late round quarterback that has a chance to possibly develop at some point. So if we're talking rookie drafts, you know, last round, possibly undrafted in your rookie drafts, but a guy you could maybe go grab on the free agency wire out there. When it comes to guys I was not impressed with, obviously I don't like it when a guy shows up and doesn't want to throw. But I think for the most part, guys like Josh Allen, most of the day was playing it safe, and then you'd occasionally see him, like his nice 70-yard throw there. He let one loose, and you're like, ooh, that is why everybody likes him.
Yeah, I think the thing with – and I have Josh Allen written on here too, because I didn't like what I saw out of the Senior Bowl, at least for the first few series that he played. So I think that he looked pretty good here at the Combine. He tested pretty well from an athletic metric standpoint, and his accuracy was good. But I completely agree, and that's one of the things they pointed out on the broadcast too, was guys just kind of taking it easy with their dropbacks, not really – using their hips and their legs to drive the ball through the receivers. It was a lot of being too cute, and I think that's a perfect way to put it, because I think they could have done better. Guys like Josh Allen, he zipped one in towards the end of the drills to Christian Kirk, and you kind of got an idea of like, ooh, that was pretty snappy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see that, like, if one of those quarterbacks went out and did that, they would have been above and beyond, like, whoa, like, look at this guy. So I was kind of discouraged that we didn't see some of that. So the other name that I had written down, believe it or not, was Kyle Laletta. Well, Tim, we use that brainwave again.
Yes, sir.
So I loved Laletta, seeing him in the Senior Bowl. I really liked what I saw there. He tested like a more athletic Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know a lot of people have made that comparison. But he's 6'3", 222. He ran a 6.95 three cone, which is, for a quarterback, whew, that's pretty damn good. 31-inch vert. He had a nice broad jump. I thought he looked pretty good overall. The arm strength, probably middle tier in this class. I think he's going to get drafted higher than the middle rounds. I think that he's going to go to a team maybe late round two, early round three. Because you're going to see at least five or six quarterbacks get drafted ahead of him. But I see a team, you know, there's been talk here in New England that when we talk about prospects, he's got a Navy background. He played lacrosse. Like Bill Belichick, you want to talk about Cox. He's got a sweatpant boner for Kyle Laletta. It is strong. And, yeah, I would not be surprised if the Pats draft their future QB and it being Kyle Laletta.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
I think Brady's got a couple more years, but that's a whole other debate. So I think Laletta could be the next guy waiting. So, Tyler, let's go to you. Give me your risers and fallers here in this QB class.
So, Darnold, my riser, because he did not throw. And everybody struggled. Mm-hmm. Darnold didn't because he didn't throw. You can look at it like Tim, kind of like how, you know, it doesn't show competitiveness. But I'm actually not worried about that with him because you see that out of him in other places. Now, with Darnold, we all know he's got the weird throwing motion, the Blake Bortles we like to talk about. That I hope he fixes between now and his pro day. But I think he helped himself by not throwing because of how poor the others did. The fallers, I would probably put that on Rosen. I was hoping for the thing with Rosen is when you watch him throw, you could tell he was nervous. You could tell he was a little tight in his delivery. And it just, I don't know. He just didn't seem loose. And he had a worm burner for, I want to say, the first or second throw. Then he overthrew a guy. But then you could tell, you know, he's like, okay, you know what? I'm in my head. And he started getting better. there's a crossing route that he had that was spot on, had some zip. So I'm a little lower on him, but I'm hoping it's just nerves. And I've never been a big Josh Allen guy. Yeah, he's got a big arm. Huge.
Right.
But you could tell he's a shirt and shorts type guy.
Yeah, and these old crusty NFL GMs, they fall in love with the big armed quarterback. It's a tale as old as time.
Yep.
You know, when you see your Kyle, oh, he can throw from 50 yards on his knees through the uprights. Let me draft Kyle Bowler. Let me get this done. Oh, Jamarcus Russell can throw at 90 yards. I need him.
Now, the thing that really annoys me, and I'm not mad at Lamar Jackson for it. I'm mad at the media for what they put on that kid and how, like, oh, well, he should do receiving drills. And that is the reason why he didn't run. And that was the most disappointing part, I think, about that whole combine. And it sucks because...
Did you see him throw, though? I was not impressed with him at the combine.
He started off rocky. The thing with him, though, is he had all that in his head, and he was so focused to show people, I'm a quarterback. He is a gamer. I guarantee you, put that kid on a football field, he is going to make things happen. And that, him and Baker in that aspect, you can't, that's something you can't see in a drill. You just can't. And I am not touching where I have Baker and Lamar Jackson. Actually, I want to say Lamar Jackson has probably moved up a lot because I don't know. I just have a feeling this kid is... I think this might have actually put him more into a focus in, like, because, you know, he had that arrogant cockiness to him at points in college. But I think this actually lowered him down to the ground and showed that, you know, you've got a lot of work ahead of you, but I believe in him. And
yeah,
I think he's good.
I think he was under a microscope more than any of these other quarterbacks, like Tyler said, because of the wide receiver thing, and it made sense. Like somebody was like, oh, I don't like how he throws the ball and his pointer fingers at the rear of the ball when he throws it. Well, guess what? The last NFL quarterback I remember doing that and with their delivery was Kurt Warner. He always had his finger pointer on the back of the ball for whatever reason, and it worked out well for him. I think Lamar started off really slow. There was a few quarterbacks. Luke Falk was one that started off horrible. Like, he was just missing throws left and right. He got better as the day went on, and that was kind of the thing with this class. This class needed an alpha male at the combine, and we just didn't get it, and that was the biggest disappointment.
And it's because he did not throw.
I don't know if he's an alpha male. Someone tweeted out the picture of the villain from the first Incredibles movie, and
oh,
that was
God,
pretty spot
yeah.
on.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was hilarious. So let's move on to the running back position, by far the deepest position in my humble opinion in this draft. So Tyler, we're going to start with you. Give me a riser, a faller, some quick analysis on some other guys that you that stood out for you.
Riser, Nick Chubb. He is absolutely locked at number 3. He showed me his explosion is back. I mean, when you can jump 38 and a half inches, or was it 30? Yeah, 38 and a half.
38 and a half, yeah.
If you can do that after having that injury, you're back. You're fine. I mean,
he ran a 4.52. Like,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I just, okay, I love the Dynasty Dummies. I absolutely love him, Zach. You're awesome. But throwing the whole can't catch label on Chubb, it's a little early for that. I just want to mention that.
Well, people said that about Geis, and he looked fine.
And Gurley. People were talking about Gurley nonstop, and he just had an MVP year because he caught the ball.
65 times, right?
And I get the scare because, you know, he didn't really show it, and Michelle showed it more. But let's not put that on him quite yet. Let's not put that label on him. You know,
don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't put that evil on me. No, like I said, I love Zach. I love his takes. He's very, very, very smart with his pass catching running backs, and it's a strategy that a lot of people love. I just want to hold the judgment that he can't catch. And he's locked at 3 for me. I mean, it's going to be tough for somebody to get up to 3.
If Chubb and Geis, if the landing spot say Geis and Chubb. Geis goes to a team with a landing spot's okay, and Chubb goes to a better landing spot. Would you flip the two?
No, because okay. Geis, despite everybody's hate for his combine, I thought he had a real nice combine.
I thought Geis was perfectly fine. Yep. He looked smooth in the passing drills, which is one of the big things that I wanted to see out of Geis. So I had no issues there. And, you know, all his measurables were about what I expected. So yep. There wasn't anything crazy that was negative for Darius Geis.
No, I hear people say Geis weighed in at 213. I swear I saw 220s.
Hold on. I got him in at
224.
Yeah, that's,
okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and he, I want to say bench 15.
Yep, 15 on the bench press.
Which still is not bad.
No, there's no Nick Chubb with 29. But
yeah. But like we all saw with Chubb. Chubb is still an alien. He is right behind Barkley and Geis, and he's not at that far away from Geis. Barkley is light years ahead of everybody. I mean,
right.
He, like everybody said, what you've heard all over, he broke the combine. I think they're still trying to fix it, and they might delay the combine for next year because the fixing they have to do with it. But
yeah, there'll be no running backs that break the combine next year, unfortunately.
Yeah, none.
2020? Possibly.
I think 2020 is going to be a hindsight year.
We will clearly see in 2020.
Yes. But no, Chubb, I thought he did fantastic. And my faller, God, that's tough. And I'd have to say it's Kerryon Johnson.
Oh, like, same.
He had a good burst score, but man, 10 reps, you can't do, or 10 or 11.
11, it was 11.
Yeah, how do you have a 40-inch vert? And did he skip arm day? Like, he does a 40-inch vert, and then he had, like, 10 reps. Yeah.
But the thing is, this guy's juiced. Like, he's huge. You watch him on tape, and his arms are gigantic.
He just looked like a guy to me at the combine.
Yeah, and you can only do one more rep than Christian McCaffrey, and everybody knocked him for it, but you don't hear this. Yeah, Kerryon Johnson fell for me, and he fell hard.
Gotcha. Now, I got a question for you, Tyler.
Yeah.
So, if you were to compare Nick Chubb to a current NFL player, what would be your comparison?
If you're looking at a certain site, I just looked at it tonight.
I'm not. I just had one written down because Nick Chubb was a riser for me, too. I just wanted to see if they were in the same ballpark.
Okay. Ray Rice.
Okay. I had Mark Ingram.
I think Ray Rice, spot on. If you watch him, his early years for Baltimore.
They were the same number, too. Ooh.
For Baltimore. Oh, my God. They were awesome. And Ray Rice caught the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
He did. Yeah, I like him. When I saw Chubb at the combine, his upper body, like his shoulders and arms, reminded me a lot of Mark Ingram.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Like, Mark Ingram has no neck.
Oh, no. He's like a whack-a-mole. Like, you hit him, and he just stayed there.
And there's one more player in the combine. I'll just mention him because I don't know if I will during wide receivers. James Washington, where is your neck? Like, he has no neck. Yeah. I seriously don't think he has a neck.
I'm gonna have to inspect James Washington's photos and search for said neck.
Yeah.
So
his player profiler picture, he has a pop collar, which doesn't help his cause.
Nah, it doesn't help
his neck. It's a jacket.
That's not good.
But I mean, even then, it's still hitting his ears. He's got no neck.
True. All right, Tim, let's move it on to you. Give me your running back risers and fallers, and I'll bring up I'll be the caboose in this one.
All right, well, just to tag on Tyler here for a second, love Chubb, love what he did up there, and for anybody interested, BMI on Chubb of 31.8, so that's a great BMI for running back. Shows he should be able to sustain the hits he's going to take. But my riser in this class was Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny came in 5'11", so, you know, on the shorter end of the scale here. Tipped the scales at 220 pounds. That's a BMI of 30.7, so another good BMI for a guy at a 5'11". Ran very well, 4.47 in both his 40s. Not nearly as strong as Chubb when it comes to the bench press. He only put up 13 reps, but athletically on the jumping and the running, Rashad Penny did very well. I thought he caught the ball well in the passing drills. I don't have any recollection of what I saw on tape of his blocking prowess, but as most running backs need, he's probably going to have to work on that for sure. But I really like what I saw this guy. uber productive for San Diego State in college. So you got the production along with the metrics now. I like what I saw on tape out of the kid. Smaller school in SDSU. So maybe he's not playing the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world week in and week out. But for the level of competition he's going against, he is dominating. And now we see that he has the athletic juice to match up with some of these bigger name guys in this class. So I really like what I saw out of Penny here. My faller is actually going to be Kalen Ballage. I thought he tested well. He has the athletics. But here's the only reason. If you go and watch those passing drills, like the angle route specifically, he runs really odd routes. I don't know if he's going to be a passing downs back in the league. He's going to have to work at it. That's for sure. He runs routes really oddly. It seems like he's giving them away. He's almost dipping his outside hip to just push off on that outside leg to make his cuts. He's selling them. He's telling you what he's doing before he's doing it. And if I'm seeing that as an untrained defensive back, imagine what these NFL defensive backs and linebackers and safeties are going to do.
Yeah, that's interesting because he was lauded for his route running ability at the Senior Bowl. So he is the most polarizing, like he could be something or he could be nothing player in this whole draft, in my opinion. Like he is, the range of outcomes are very wide with Kalen Ballage. So I like what I saw, from him athletically. I thought he ran a nice 40. His broad jump was good. I think I've knocked him down in my rookie rankings just because the range of outcomes are pretty wide. I can't disagree with you on that one. I still love Kalen Ballage. Kalen, if you're listening, what up, boo? I love you. All right, so I'm going to go over. I've got three risers and a couple observations. I didn't really have too much. The same fallers I had, well, it was Kerryon Johnson was my big one as well. Yep. So I've got three of them. Not the most obvious names, but names to definitely keep an eye on, and I think their dynasty stock has gone up and could even go up further depending on their landing
spot
here.
Don't say Bo.
So the first one I have is Chase Edmonds out of Fordham. Okay. So crazy feet. I watched him in all of his drills. He had the fastest three cone at 6.79. 6.79, which was when I lived in New Hampshire, was my exchange, 6.79. So there's going to be some kind of connection there. Probably not. But yeah.
Misconnection.
A 10-foot broad jump. He looks smooth in all the drills. To me, he reminded me a little bit of Deion Lewis. He's got shifty hips. His feet are just awesome. So I would not be surprised if he ends up being a Patriot because Deion Lewis is going to walk. So Chase Edmonds, come to Papa. We'll take you on the Pats all day. So just some quick observations on him. I really like Nyheim Hines and what he could do. I was trying to get him in the Dynasty Happy Hour Listener League. I was on auto pick because I was on a cruise. He got picked like two picks in front of me, and I was salty. But I did like him quite a bit. He ran that 4.38 40, so obviously that got people onto him. But he's very versatile in the passing game. He can kick return. He can punt return. So I think his stock is up. Quick note on John Kelly. So I liked what I saw out of John Kelly. He weighed in at a really nice 220 pounds. He looked good in the passing drills. He was angry at those cones and all the drills. Out of anyone that I watched at the running back position, he was attacking the cones aggressively. And I was like, whoa, look at John Kelly's feet. So I really liked what I saw out of John Kelly. So he's not so much a riser as I think his dynasty stock is pretty much solidified where it is. I don't think it boosts him up crazy. And the last one I have at running back, Bo Scarborough. Tyler said, hey, I know he's a tall drink of water, okay? But there's
he's
a role
like,
for
he's
him.
He's got to be 48 years old.
There's
like,
a role for him in the NFL. At that size, I wasn't a big Bo guy. I was like, all right, here's a guy that could make himself some money at the combine. And a 4.52, a 40-inch vert, a 10.9 broad, like his reps were pretty good on the bench. Like Bo Scarborough, and he looked pretty solid in the passing drills, which was a big question mark for him.
But you hear on Twitter, he was the second leading receiver for Alabama, 16.
Well, I mean, when you have a running back at the quarterback position, it's hard to put any
ugly
stock
offense
into any of those pass catchers at Alabama. I mean, look what O.J. Howard did in college. He didn't do anything, really, except in big games. So Bo Scarborough, to me, maybe went from a fifth or sixth round pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the third and fourth on some teams. He can, if a team is looking to pound the rock with a young guy, I know he's tall, so he's a big target. He's not going to get super low, But, I mean, you look at guys like Derrick Henry, LeGarrette Blount have roles in the league. If a team wants to run an offense with a Bo Scarborough and then a pass-catching back around him, I could see where he has a place in the league. And in dynasty drafts, he's going to be available in the third round, maybe even a little bit later. I'm okay with it. I'm perfectly okay with Bo Scarborough as a prospect, especially after what I saw at the combine. His hands were good. The speed was good. I'm firing up Bo.
Now, I will talk about Bo a little bit. He was a big five-star guy. He is a big recruit.
He's got an injury history.
Yep, injury history. He had his games in Alabama, but he is a guy that a little more than Derrick Henry needs a hole. He needs a hole. He doesn't have the shiftiness of Derrick Henry.
The change of direction, no, yeah. Not at all.
And he is a straight-up, straight-line guy. So if we are going to give Henry a Brandon Jacobs comp, not close. Give that to Scarborough.
Yeah,
that is
a
lot
accurate.
Closer.
Yeah.
And I think if Scarborough had 20 more pounds, holy crap, he would look just like Brandon Jacobs. Like, it probably could be Brandon Jacobs in a wig because Bo Scarborough looks like he's in his late 30s.
I actually did check one of Brandon Jacobs' travel itineraries. He was recently in Jamaica, and I looking through his receipts, he did purchase a Rasta wig. So we could have witnessed Brandon Jacobs at the combine posing as Bo Scarborough.
He may have slimmed down from his 260 that he was.
Yeah. He wants to come back in the NFL. He said, you know what? I might as well assume someone else's identity to do so. Brilliant move.
Has there been an Alabama running back coming out that you've been less excited for than Bo Scarborough lately?
Less excited?
Yeah. I mean, Alabama has a very good track record of running backs coming out.
I wasn't a huge Kenyon Drake guy when he was coming out.
I can actually agree with that. Kenyon Drake was a straight-up speed guy until last year when I fell.
I wasn't a big T.J. Yeldon guy either.
I was more on Yeldon than I would like to admit.
I wouldn't like That's to fine. Say I was high on Drake, but I was definitely more into him than I am Bo Scarborough.
That's fair. So I just think there's a role for him in the league, and I think he's going to be a nice back end dynasty draft guy to have.
Oh man!
And
like
put him on your taxi if you know when we've seen so many injuries. We've seen so many injuries open opportunities for all of these running backs. I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Scarborough gets drafted by I don't know the Washington Redskins,
New England Patriots, a replacement for
we have Mike Gillisley already. We're good.
What if he went to Philly? Replacement for Blount.
He
looks a lot like Blount too. If Brandon Jacobs and LeGarrette Blount had a baby, that would be one ugly child. And that's Bo Scarborough.
Oh man, I love it. So some good running back talk.
I've got a couple more I want to mention. Faller, Mark Walton.
Yeah.
He kind of fell for me.
Oh, yeah. The size. He stumbled in a lot of drills too.
Yeah. I think a lot of nerves with him. I think he felt like he had a lot to prove. You could tell, facial-wise, he didn't look loose. He was really uptight. And, disappointed. But he could be a guy that could fall that I would take in the third round.
Sure.
And a riser, Royce Freeman.
Absolutely.
I liked him going into college. His freshman year, he had a little more explosiveness to him. I felt like he gained weight in college. Like, they had him listed at 235 or so. And the thing with him, when he came in at 228, I put this on Twitter, and our running back person, Jacob Buettner. It's super German.
I think it's Buettner.
Buettner.
There's just some umlauts Buettner in there probably over the U. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's German. But yeah, he does great running back stuff, and he is a huge fan of him, and I mentioned to him, and I said, he is down to 228. I would not be surprised if he comes out more explosive than what you'd think, and he did. Sub-7, 3-cone. He had a 4.
You're the third best 3-cone, I think, out of the running back group.
Yeah, he had, a 4.5?
4.5-2 guy? 4.5-4,
maybe. But his 40 was good. And from what I saw, he had explosiveness. Like that, the passing drill where you'd go back and forth and run up. When he took off up the field, ooh, I would not want to be in front of that man. But he's a guy that has actually risen in my rookie ranks, and I think he's a borderline first rounder.
Yeah, he definitely looked the part in all of his drills.
Yep, and he's another guy that was a very, very high recruit. I think he might have been a five-star that went to Oregon.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of the most productive running backs in collegiate history. So.
Yep.
6'9 in the three cone, guys. Yeah, Royce, in my notes from the combine, I have he looked very smooth catching the ball. I like the way he was grabbing the ball, tucking it away, and just turning and getting right upfield. I thought he played, you know, not the play, but he tested very well at the combine. And like Tyler said, his athletic scores were probably a little higher than most people thought he was going to do. So that was impressive.
Yeah, and there was a couple guys that I saw that I don't think are necessarily, they might not get drafted, but I liked what I saw out of Kyle Hicks. He looked pretty smooth, quick feet. You know, he might not get drafted at all, so who knows what's going to happen. I just, with the visual test for me is, like, outside of all the athletic stuff, like, he just looked pretty good. You know, just watching the combine.
Another high recruit.
Hicks looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was a high recruit. Supposed to go to Texas. Went to TCU and had some off-the-field issues and a couple of injuries, I think.
What about Justin Jackson from Northwestern?
Oh, love.
Yeah.
He is a late second-round rookie pick for me.
6'8", 1 just, on the three-cone there for him.
And it's him. It's just he can do everything. I think he is just a guy that can do everything. He's under 200, but I think in an NFL weight room, I think he could get to 202, 205, which is good for me. And if he could be a Giovanni Bernard type player, the late second round rookie pick for a guy like that, oh, I love it. I think he's 19 overall for me. Yeah, he's nice. Risen quite high for me.
Gotcha. Any other final thoughts on this running back group before we move on to wide receiver?
I can't wait. I can't wait for rookie drafts.
It's a great running back group.
Because we have people like Ronald Jones tripping up in the 40. People say that he was going to run a 4.5. That was a 4.4. Like, that was close to...
Oh, he ran a 4.66 with a pulled hammy. Yeah, he was going to run up probably
twice.
A mid...
He pulled up twice.
I was going to say a 4.45, 4.4,
mid fours,
somewhere in there.
I had my money on a 4.37 to a 4.44.
Wow. We didn't see Josh Adams either.
Yeah. We would still be watching his 40 if he was running.
Come on.
Him and Auden Tate would be running together.
Oh, guys. I'm sure he's going to be on our next segment. So with that said, let's move on to the wide receiver position. So why don't we have Tyler kick us off? He's, I would say, our... Oh, Tim's making a face.
I just know he's going to take my guy.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Go ahead,
Feel
Tyler.
Feel free to chime in. Good, Tyler, kick off these wide receivers. Risers, fallers, observations. Give it to us.
A riser, Equanimeous St. Brown.
I knew that was coming. The Notre Dame, and you bleed Notre Dame gold.
I used to. I want to a little. They're a team I still like, but St. Brown is a guy I have followed since he has started playing, and man, I was so happy the Dupree talks have just stalled on him, because everybody was talking about how he's Malachi Dupree, you know, a guy that was highly recruited. He's going to come in and bomb the combine, and then he's going to get drafted late. No, that is not happening anymore. This is a late day one, day two type guy. And 6'5", almost, 4.48. And I know he didn't do his jumps, but I think he's going to destroy St. Ben when he goes there and does his pro day. And I would not be shocked if he jumps very high. He's almost 6'5", so he's going to jump pretty high either way. But, man, he just looked good in his drills. He looked like he belonged up there with the Suttons and all them. And, God, I think he's my wide receiver 3 right now, and I'm debating on putting him above Sutton.
Oh, the Notre Dame bias.
And I will probably own him a lot everywhere, because I will draft him late first, early second, and I think he's going to get drafted earlier than what people think. And okay, a little wish here. Dear Atlanta Falcons, please draft Equanimeous St. Brown, and let him learn from Julio and just do what you did with Roddy White when Roddy White was 28. Let Roddy be the guy for a year or two and then just switch. And oh my God, I think I would cry. I have never
Would you immediately purchase a St. Brown jersey?
You know that would happen immediately. You know that would. Fanatics would be on. I would be the one calling nonstop. Like, wait, hey, you got him in yet?
No, you'd be calling. You'd be emailing the Falcons. What's his official number? What's his official number?
Oh, man. I'm so pumped to see where he lands and to see his pro day, to get the rest of what he didn't have at the combine. But my faller, I won't say the Knowles guy. Because I feel like that's known. I will say Calvin Ridley worries me. And his gauntlet was textbook. It was a straight line. I mean, I don't think he went off the line during the gauntlet. He was smooth, knew what he was doing. But he is not as athletic as we all thought. This is a guy that came out very average. Player Profiler has him as Jared Aberderis level.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he's Jared Aberderis because Jared Aberderis... No, I'm kidding. He's not better. no, I think Ridley is a guy that could be a Jarvis Landry as a ceiling. A guy that needs to play slot.
He's not that tough, though.
That is very true. And he... But the thing is with Ridley, if you watch him, huge upper body. This man skips leg day all the time.
He's the Hugh Jackman of this class.
He has very wide shoulders, but his legs are super tiny, like super, super tiny. Now, he is on the older side, and I do think he's ready to play now, but if somebody takes him, he is a strictly slot receiver. And could he be a Cooper Kupp? Possibly, which isn't bad. That's nothing to hold.
That would be okay.
Yeah. I would be all right with that. And if that happens, I'd be happy with taking him. But where he's going to go in rookie drafts, I'm probably not going to own him. And that's the issue. Is he's going to go 7, 8, 9, and I'm not touching him there.
Yeah, I think the name recognition alone, especially if you're in dynasty leagues with guys that aren't as hardcore as us or our listeners, I think that the name recognition alone for Calvin Ridley will keep him higher than I would draft him probably as well.
That 189-pound weight limit that he came in at is something concerns me. The more svelte guys going into the league seem to be beat up against these bigger-bodied corners when they get up to the next level. So we're going to see how he can get off the line.
You better be elusive if you're going to be small, and he's... All his measurables say he's not that elusive.
Yeah, and the thing, you go to 189 with Ridley. I expect him to be about 200. Equanimeous St. Brown, I expected him to be around 205, 208, and he weighed in at 218. Like, when your dad is Mr. Universe two times, you are going to be able to
gain
weight.
Yeah, you got
to
put on weight,
Oh, man, and he did 20 reps, and people were kind of like, wow, that's pretty good. And you're like...
Dad sells supplements. Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Oh, man. Like,
his dad was so disappointed.
That's a scary thing, is he's only going to get better because his dad is going to be the dad that's going to be like, nope, keep going. Yeah. You got this.
Yeah, one more.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is when he did his 40 time, you guys talk about the reps and how his dad was disappointed. When he looked up at his 4:48 40 and looked up at the board, he kind of had disappointment on his face. And all I'm thinking, I'm like, oh man, he's probably thinking his dad's gonna be pissed.
He's gonna kick his ass. Yeah. Yeah, they're very similar to the similar in respect that their dad pushes them, not like LeVar Ball and his kids, because LeVar is an absolute asshat.
God, yes. And the scary thing about St. Brown, Equanimeous, his two younger brothers might be better. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, it'll be cool to have, if they all end up making the NFL, to have three brothers all in the league at the same. I always thought that was the cool thing with Rondé and Tiki Barber. Just having two brothers, twins, that are in the league at the same time is just something really, really cool about that. Yep. You kind of want to root for them. And it'd be even cooler if, like, maybe one of them lands on the same team as another, which would be kind of neat, too.
Yeah.
So, Like, I wanted Jason McCourty to end up on the Pats to play with Devin McCourty. They could have, like, this secondary mind meld, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I wish it did because Jason McCourty was really good this year.
Wonder Twins, power, activate.
Exactly. So I'm going to go over a couple of my wide receivers real quick, and I'll let Tim take us home on this one. So a couple of my risers was Christian Kirk. I didn't know a ton about him. I watched a little bit of film on him. I thought he looked really, really good. 4.46. He showed really good awareness, his strong hands. He looked the part for me. And the only thing that I'm kind of skeptical is do you guys think he's going to be a slot receiver, or you think he could play outside in the NFL?
I think he has to play outside, and he's actually one of my fallers, and I'm going to talk about this right now. He had the 4.46 40. Okay. 5'10 and 3/8, 201 is what he weighed in at. Yep. But if you look at all the agility testing, if you look at the explosion, the broad jump.
It wasn't spectacular.
The broad jump, one of the lowest in the class. The three cone, over 7. The shuttle, 4.45, one of the lowest in the class. So his agility score, not very good. It tells me he's more of a straight line guy. He doesn't have that fluidity in the hips to bend, make the cuts he needs to, and maintain his speed and run routes at one, you know, rate of speed. He's not going to create separation on routes like that. He needs to just be a burner and go in a straight line according to his athletic traits here.
So, now, go ahead, Tyler.
A good comp for him, I would have to say Brandon Cooks is a ceiling.
Absolutely. Kinda,
he's going to be a guy that I feel could go off week to week. Like, he could have two amazing weeks and then he could just fall off. Because he's not going to be a guy that's a number one.
He's that best ball pick.
Oh, my God. He would be a great best ball wide receiver. And he is actually a guy that he's a guy that I didn't really move because I saw what I expected and I didn't have high expectations for him. I saw the same thing Tim did on tape, which was a guy that could go from 0 to 60 in no time. Very explosive going in a straight line. But when he needs to go left-right, he's going to need to slow down. He's going to need to slow down a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a special teams player. He's going to be a guy that is going to need to land on a team with a good deep ball quarterback, a guy that is going to target him down the field. If that happens, early second, I mean, I might move him up to the early second. But, like I said, Brandon Cook's ultimate ceiling, which is fine.
Yeah, so when I watched Kirk, to me, I think he had some of the best footwork out of that first receiver group, at least, because I was kind of watching a lot of the receivers' feet, and I thought that when he was running his routes, I thought that he broke pretty well. So, I don't know. Just what I saw. Like I said, I didn't watch really much of his Texas A&M tape, so it was, for me, you know, fresh set of eyes just watching him mostly from the combine. I liked what I saw out of Christian Kirk, so let Christian Kirk follow me in rookie drafts. Let's go. Let's make that happen. I also had another riser, Antonio Callaway. I know he's got a bucket load of issues.
He
might be this year's Ishmael Zamora. Remember that guy when he was getting pumped up? Remember him?
God, I haven't heard that name in forever. Yeah.
So we're talking about a big receiver who's got off-the-field issues. You know, Zamora tested really, really well from everything that was pro day and everything. But, Antonio Callaway ran a great gauntlet drill. He ran a 4.41 or 4.46 40.
4.41.
4.41 and 4.44 was two times.
Yeah, so, I mean, the speed was there, the height, the weight, like a lot of things
good,
when I
good
saw
vertical.
Him. He had good vertical. He caught the ball really well over his shoulder, made it look very, very easy. So, to me, he comes away as a winner. Now, obviously, it's going to be interesting to see what NFL draft stock a team puts in him. If he goes undrafted, red flag, just like it was with Zamora, who's now, I think, on the Raiders practice squad still. But if he gets drafted in the fifth, maybe the sixth round, like, he's back on my radar in rookie drafts. And I think he should be for you, too, because the metrics are there. You know, they talked a little bit about him at the combine. Michael Irvin talked to him. You know, his coach endorsed him. Said that he learned, he just had a kid, you know, he's learned a lot of things. Now, that could all be lip service. We've seen that happen before. But if it's not, then if he gets his shit together, like, Callaway could be a steal in your dynasty rookie drafts, depending on where he lands. So that's obviously a situation to keep an eye on, and I really liked him. And my last riser is a guy that I knew absolutely zip, zero, zilch, nothing about. I had never even heard the name before the combine. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
It's Dylan Cantrell.
Oh, man. Okay, you're stealing one from me here. He was going to my deep dive, but go ahead.
So if you're on Twitter, I definitely recommend checking out at BradKelly17, who's got a thread about Dylan Cantrell. So I watched the Combine. I stumbled upon this thread today, and after seeing his Combine and this thread, I was like, ooh, I like this kid. He's got great vision. He catches the back shoulder, footwork, strong hands. He tested really well. He didn't run the fastest 40 in the world. He was a 4.59, but he's 6'3", 226. His three cone, and I think I had to triple check this, and I'm pretty sure it's accurate.
Say it loud and proud.
6'5", 6. Are you shitting me? That is blazing. That's faster than Chase Edmonds with the fastest running back three cone. That is insane. A 38.5-inch vertical. This kid tested phenomenally. The thread that I saw from Brad Kelly backed up what I saw, and I was like, wow, I like this kid. So maybe he's nothing, maybe he's something. Keep an eye on Dylan Cantrell. To me, he could be a Jeff Janis that actually reaches his potential.
Chris Conley.
Okay, Chris Conley is another good one with that another athletic guy. Chris Conley works. Okay with that.
And I'm going to mention another name, and oh my God. I just lost it. So you guys talk a little more about Cantrell.
So yes, Blue Cantrell for you, all those Puff fans. Oh, yes, Tim knows what I'm talking about. He definitely, for me, and maybe because he was only the only white dude in the first group, maybe he stuck out more for me. But as I watched him, his footwork, the hands, he looked really, really good. And I think the last riser for me was DJ Chark. He ran the 4.34. He looked good in all the drills. He looked like Martavis Bryant to me, but faster. The way that he's built. Tall, lanky, athletic. He looked like Martavis.
And he's got that LSU thing going for him. You know, these guys don't get a whole lot of production in college because it's not what the team does. And the last couple wide receivers that come out of that school have done well in the league.
Except for Malachi Dupree. Wah, yeah. Wah, wah.
Now, Trey Quinn is the guy I was talking about.
Yeah, the SMU, right?
Yeah. Honest to God, when I saw the numbers and how he was used at SMU, did not expect the visual that I saw at the combine.
Caught 100 passes.
I didn't watch any tape, but man, he could be the next prototypical white man.
Insert white slot receiver for the Patriots here.
And I loved his combine workout. I think he is just, I think he could be Cooper Kupp. And I know the comp is
I think he could be Ryan Switzer, possibly, if Switzer
that is true.
Gets and, a shot with Beasley out of the way.
I think he's actually bigger than both. I think Cooper Kupp's 6'2 or 6'1, but I think he's around that height and weight. He's 6 foot,
and
I think.
And he threw a no-hitter in the Little League World Series. Fun fact, if you didn't watch the broadcast.
Nice. So, but, yeah, he's a guy. He's a guy I'm watching. He's a guy that'll probably be like a fifth-round pick or so.
Probably.
So I don't think he's going to go too high, but... Yeah, just a guy I'm kind of keeping my eyes on. And One more faller, Simi Cobbs. Ugh. Didn't show me nothing.
He has a weird name, Simi. Yep. It's like Kiki Cutie. I was like, am I talking about like little oranges? Like, what's going on here? Cuties?
New
like,
rapper.
Yo, this is Kiki Cutie on the mic. Let's go.
I don't think I can get hyped for Kiki.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sounds like Jersey Shore.
So, Tim, take us home with these wide receivers.
I mean,
give me the risers.
Did,
give me the fallers.
You guys did a great job of really hammering out a lot of the guys I had on my list here. Antonio Callaway impressed me. Calvin Ridley I was disappointed in. We spoke about Christian Kirk. And if anybody knows anything about me when it comes to wide receivers, Courtland Sutton has been my, my boy, yeah, my boo for about 2 years now. I was really hoping he was going to come out last year. I thought he did well. Came in 6'3", and 3.8, 2.18. He ran 4.55, so for his size, his weight, those are not bad scores. Ran a 6.57 in the three cone. So, again, for a guy that size, that's a really, really smooth transition.
He tested better than Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The thing with Sutton is that movement. He can run routes.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be able to run routes.
Really good speed score, 102.63. Really good agility score there for Courtland Sutton. I really, really like this kid, but he's already one of the bigger names in this class. So, Doug just talked about him, but Dylan Cantrell was the guy that, same exact story, Doug. I had heard the name. I don't think I've watched even a second of film on this guy whatsoever.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But post combine, I'm like, I'm going to have to dig on this kid now because, yeah, just lit it up. Broad jump of 10.833. That's almost 11 feet. We already talked about that three cone. All his athletic testing scores are through the roof. The kid did amazing. And then I'm going to talk about both the DJs, Chark and Moore. I'll start with Chark, 6'2 and 7/8". He only weighs 199 pounds, so with that height, he can probably put on a little more weight.
Future Carolina Panther. Book it.
I think that fits the mold for Carolina. I think he can late probably first. Put on another 10 pounds onto that frame, and but it's going to slow him down, you know, 0.05 of a second. He'll be a 4.4 flat maybe, but very good broad jump there for Chark. You know, just really good athletic testing for him overall. And then the next guy was DJ Moore.
This receiver one.
This kid came in and just lit this combine up for the wide receivers. I was blown
if Barkley
away.
Didn't already break it, Moore broke it more.
Yeah, yeah. Moore's 240 is a 4.43, a 4.48, 6'2", 210. So very good body size and body mass there. 39.5-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump. So he's got great explosiveness. He ran, you know, he's not breaking any records with his 40s, but for his size and weight, those are darn good 40s. Shuttle speed of 4.07. So again, just a really, really good player. And if you go watch his film from Maryland, this kid was that offense. He was that team. Defenses knew it, and he was still putting up numbers. So you see it on the film, you see it in the athletic testing. DJ Moore has everything I'm looking for in a wide receiver, and I'll tell you right now, I wanted Sutton to come out last year. He would have been my number one wide receiver. I was carrying that over to the beginning of this rookie class. Sutton is now my number two. DJ Moore is my number one wide receiver in this class.
Welcome to the club.
Love
yep, I have DJ Moore as my number one as well. So
the thing with
DJ Moore fan club.
The thing with Moore is I know this might be a little hot takey, but on tape, he looked like OBJ from LSU. I didn't want to put that on him. After the combine, he is the closest thing I have seen coming out of LSU because I didn't think OBJ was going to be himself coming out of LSU. But LSU OBJ, DJ Moore Maryland, very, very similar.
And thank you for getting that correct. It's OBJ, not ODB.
Oh, God, and I hear that all the time.
If you're going to hyphenate Equanimeous St. Brown, it's ESB, not EQSB, as I've seen in some Twitter posts. It's yes. Equanimeous is all one word.
Yep.
So let's just get this straight. So everybody out there on Twitter, it's ESB, it's OBJ. You're welcome.
Rest in peace, old dirty bastard.
Brooklyn Zoo! All right, so let's move on to our tight end class, who actually...
This makes me sad.
I think this tight end class is okay. I mean, it's hard to follow up 2017, let's be completely honest.
That's not what I'm talking about, Doug. That's not why I'm sad.
All right. Well, I'm going to kick off tight ends because I've just got a couple observations here. I'm going to start off first with my boy. Thank you for drafting him for me, Tyler, in the Happy Hour Listener League 2.0. It's Jalen Samuels. I don't think he's a tight end. I think he's a running back. That's actually how he's classified in my fantasy league. And we also want to give them a shout out for running the Dynasty Happy Hour Listener League 2.0. So thank you, MyFantasyLeague.com. The best place to play Dynasty football, point blank. But Jalen Samuels tested really, really well in most of the measurables. He's an offensive weapon. I think if a team drafts him, I think they should probably use him at the running back position. But he does give you the flexibility to have him as a move tight end, possibly, or even set him up at receiver. He's that versatile, and he's got that type of skill set. Love me some Jalen Samuels. And the other guy I want to talk about real quick is Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina. Now, I know Dynasty people are going to be like, but Doug, he's going to be 25 years old when the season starts.
He's still younger than Bo.
He's still 20 years younger than Breshad Perriman. It's crazy.
And about 35 years younger than Kevin White.
Hey, have you seen Kevin White recently?
Oh, man. But have you seen his legs? They didn't show those legs in that picture.
No, those legs are probably... Well, his legs are so... They're probably so atrophied from all the leg injuries that he suffered that they're probably still very skinny.
They probably scrolled down, and it's literally chicken legs. Like,
it was
no joke.
It was a set of matchsticks.
Yeah.
But they've been used, so they're burned.
Yeah, they're burned. Yeah, and that's the only burning he's going to do in the NFL because he's not burning by any defensive backs anytime soon. So Hayden Hurst for me ran a respectable 40.467, 31.5-inch vert, 10-foot broad. I like this kid a lot. He's a two-sport player. He tried to make it in baseball for 2 years. He was the team captain for a lot of years at South Carolina. I think he's just a leader. I think he's an all-around tight end. I know some people have him as tight end one in this class, which to me is a little redonk. I really wish that Dallas Goedert would have ran the drills here if he didn't tweak that hamstring, because I think he's my tight end one, even though there's going to be another player I'm sure you guys are going to talk about that tested absolutely off the charts. But he's got some... he's got some issues, I think, from an actual playing ability. So, to me, Hayden Hurst is a guy that in your tight end premium leagues or even in your regular dynasty drafts, you'll be able to get pretty late, and I think that he can be a starting tight end day one because he can be on the field for all three downs. His hands are good. His blocking's good. His route running's good. He's obviously a little bit more mature, so you ageists out there for dynasty might pass on him. I will gladly let him fall to me, and I will take some Hayden Hurst. So,
that,
Tim.
That man bun, though. He was. Yeah. He had a nice man bun, that combine.
He did.
You gotta respect the man bun sometimes. Maybe not.
As a man that can't grow the hair, I do respect the man bun. It's nice.
Me too. I loved what I saw out of Hurst. I think he is the most polished. I think he, if he has any dynasty stock, he needs to hit year one or year two. Has to. He has to hit and hit big. And I think he has a good possibility of doing so because he is 25 years old. He is a man.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I think the age is the only thing that keeps him out of the top two for me.
Sure. I agree with that. Tim, talk to me about these ends that are tight.
Oh, I love the ends that are tight. I mean, we talked about the running back that broke the combine. We talk about the receivers that broke the combine. Why not talk about the tight end that broke the combine? I mean, for a tight end, this guy put up numbers. Penn State, whoever your strength and conditioning coach is, pay that man. I mean,
I tweeted out, what the hell's in the water in Penn State?
Larry Johnson's their strength and conditioning coach.
Troy Apke, the safety that ran like a 4.35, and I'm like, where the frick did this kid come from?
Wow. I love Dion's comments on that, by the way.
I can't say that on TV.
Dion gets me sometimes, but man, that made me laugh.
I was watching it live, and I'm like, "All right, yeah, okay." And then I'm like, "Whoa, this kid's fast!"
Wow, who's the old corner from the Giants? The white kid,
Jason Sehorn.
Sehorn. I'm like, oh my! I had flashbacks going back.
I thought you were gonna bring like an Adam Archuleta reference for like a white safety.
No, I was thinking Sehorn.
Yeah, right in your backyard. Daniel Sorensen. I'm just going to keep talking about white safeties, apparently.
Yeah.
Tim, carry on. Smith. Yeah. Talk to me about Penn State.
All right, so Gesicki, fastest 40, highest vert, furthest broad, best three cone. This guy athletically...
freak.
Just destroyed the rest of this tight end class when it comes to athletic testing. Now, does that convert over to NFL production? Most times it doesn't lead directly to NFL production, but it's nice and it's something to hang your hat on, especially as a GM when drafting. But the two guys that I thought impressed me, Tyler Conklin out of Central Michigan, 6'3", 254, 4.8s or his 40s. You're talking about
former basketball player.
Yeah, former basketball player, and we've seen that work one or two times in this league before. good agility scores there for Tyler Conklin. And the other guy that I was impressed with was Mark Andrews out of Oklahoma, 6'5 and an eighth, 256, ran a 4.59. So a 4.59 at 256 pounds.
That's faster than Auden Tate.
I'm not going to try to tackle that. I mean,
Auden Tate is still running his 40. and DeRunya Wilson.
I was
going to
say, he's
running.
No DeRunya Wilson over there.
Oh, man.
Or DeMaurier Stringfellow. I just wanted to say that name. Sorry.
Stringfield, that's a good name. I always like that name coming out. The guy that I was hoping to see something out of to make me, think, oh, this is going to be a stash I can get, real late in my rookie drafts. It just did not do anything to help me out here was Marcus Ball out of Ohio State, 6'3.5", 247. slower in his 40s, bad athletic testing when it comes to the explosion, a 33-inch vertical. You know, the broad jump was only 9 3/4 feet. So bad speed score, bad agility score out of there for a kid that went to a Big Ten school, Ohio State. You know, they're up there with the Bamas when it comes to recruiting. They can get these five-star guys. So I was hoping that maybe Marcus Ball was just a kid that was underutilized in that Ohio State system, and he'd come to the combine and score well enough that I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this guy late third rounds, fourth rounds of rookie drafts, and I don't know if I'm even going to bother with that at this point.
Yeah, that's probably wise. Tyler, wrap us up with these tight ends, bro.
Oh, my God. Gilsecki ruined my rookie drafts. I had a plan of taking him in the third round. I did in our way too early rookie mock in January. And he was a guy that I even stated in the comments, he's a guy I'm going to take in the third round because he is mini Gronk to me. That's what I saw on tape when he caught the ball. And when he ran the 40, he looked like Gronk. Like, he's not a short stride type guy. Those are long, long strides. The best part about it is going to move Mark Andrews down. And it is going to make him a huge value. And Mark Andrews is still my tight end one. I thought he just looked smooth. He looked like a guy that was an easy mover, a guy that just natural. Gilsecki is a superhuman. He is a man that has...
He's the T-1000 out there.
And that's why I loved him in the third round. He's going to go way too early for me. A guy I might be able to buy late in the season coming up in 2018 because I don't think he's going to see the field early like people think because he's a guy that cannot block. For how big and athletic he is, he had trouble blocking in Penn State. Mark Andrews, complete player. And that's what I love about him. He can block. He's a willing blocker.
He's kinda more like, of a move type, though.
Yeah, kind of like Ingram. A guy that if you ask him to, he could throw his body in the way. And, I mean, at 250 plus, he can do that. So Mark Andrews is a guy that is going to be a value in drafts because he's falling because other players are going to rise. Like, Goddard.
You know. Goddard is the correct pronunciation.
Tomato, I've heard Goddard, tomato.
Like yogurt, like a ton of times.
Now, I have a friend that's like 40 miles away from South Dakota State, and he actually went to a game this year, said he stood out, just looked like a guy that was playing with a bunch of boys, and he was a man.
A lot of people comp him to Travis Kelce, which is interesting.
Yeah.
He's got great hands, and he can stretch the field. Like, I wish he would have tested him. And Adam Brenneman was another one from UMass.
Yeah.
That I wish he was at the combine. He's got some possible long-term knee issues, but he's another nice prospect, too. So,
yep.
If there's any discount on Dallas Goddard, I will gladly take it.
Yeah, and the thing with Kelce is I see a lot of that in Mark Andrews. Like, Kelce's an easy mover, a guy that has just natural athletic moving ability, good route runner. I see that in Andrews a lot.
I see a Hunter Henry, Zach Ertz-y type.
Yeah, I just think
he's a little bit bigger.
I think Andrews is going to be a little more well-rounded than Hunter Henry, because Hunter Henry is still a decent blocker, but he...
Just get Antonio Gates out of the way. That's all we need to know about Hunter Henry.
Got it. I love Hunter Henry.
I'll take Zach Ertz's production.
All day.
But, Mark Andrews is going to become an awesome value. Gilsecki, if he reaches out of the second round, you run, you trade up, you get him. But if he's an early second round pick, I don't think I'm touching him. I can't. Yeah. Unless it's a tight end premium or a start two. Possibly, depending on who's there. But yeah, that he is almost a first round pick, I feel. Like, that's what his value is going to come out, just because he destroyed.
It'll be interesting to see where he lands.
Oh, yeah.
And like, if he goes to, a Jacksonville.
Yeah, if he goes first round to Jacksonville, he's a first-round rookie pick. Like
they needed tight ends so badly.
Yeah. Like, he will be a first-round rookie pick if he goes to Jacksonville in the first.
Yeah. Another name to keep an eye on, too, at tight end is Ian Thomas is a guy that I like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just a big, athletic, raw... Bit of a freak, not crazy like David Njoku type freak, and obviously the college production isn't there.
He's a freak. He's a
as a li- He's the fastest kid alive. But as a guy in a tight end premium league that you can take a flyer on late in a dynasty draft, Ian Thomas intrigues me a little bit. So just a name to keep an eye on there as well. So any final thoughts on tight ends, boys?
No, not at all. I think pretty much Gilsicki ruined my rookie draft plan, so now I have to go into the headquarters and replan.
I got to go back into the lab and reformulate.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for Dallas's pro day numbers, and obviously, you know,
they
pro
should
days,
be good.
Pro days are historically skewed a little bit faster than what you're gonna see from combines, so you take that, you know, 10%. And
I hope that Hammy's okay, because he was it the Senior Bowl or East West Shrine Game that he heard it and then tweaked it again. So who knows if it's going to be good by then. If it's not, then if he starts to slide down boards, ooh boy, I like me some discount.
Yep, and we got to remember, tight ends, don't be disappointed if they don't hit year one. That is your buying window.
Yes, sir.
I am the biggest David Njoku fan on this planet.
I have bought him in two home leagues, and it's all because people were disappointed with his production. And that it's going
to
happen.
I can't wait for him to pop big. It's going to be amazing.
Now, once they get a quarterback.
Now, everybody knows my love of Steven Anderson down there in Houston. But with
I like Steven Anderson.
The two guys that were in front of Steven Anderson to start last year, both dealing with concussion issues, if you get one of these big-name tight ends down there in Houston, I would like that landing spot.
By the way, both players in front of them, concussion issues. A little red flag there. Like, Steven Anderson.
Hey, however you make the field,
going in
buddy.
With a going in
some
with a 2x4.
Some aggressive pregame headbutts.
Yeah. Like maybe he knows something like Taekwondo and just knows where to hit.
Ha! He's got like a special helmet made with a chunk of lead right here on the crown. Yep.
I don't know.
Like a steel-toed helmet.
Maybe we should look into it.
Hey, good for
I
you,
I think
Steven
we might
Anderson.
Be onto something. I think we should start a mini-series, a TV series about curious sports injuries that are inflicted.
Unsolved football mysteries.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Starring Robert Stack. He's probably not alive anymore. But if you like Unsolved Mysteries, Amazon Prime Video, let's go. That brings back my childhood, by the way.
Oh, I was so scared of that show.
That show is phenomenal.
All Tim watched was the raping ones, and he's like, nope, not for me.
It came on right before bedtime. It was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
the
timing
mysteries
on that was curious. Yeah.
The worst had to be the one with the midget dressing up in a clown suit. I saw that one, and I'm like, I am going to be awake for a year. There's no way I'm going to bed.
Tyler was completely out on clowns after
and
that.
The music was creepy, and he always opened the show in like a cemetery, or there's like a murder scene right
and
behind
he had
him.
Like and he had like a flasher coat on.
Yeah.
You know, real thought right here. That was an actual murder scene. Like, you just stepped in and started recording.
And they're like, oh, yeah, hop out of the van, Robert, let's go.
This is where Sally passed away.
They get a murder scene, a fog machine out, and Robert Sack just starts walking up.
And the creepy
flashing
music.
Yeah. But it's just a Sony boombox that they, oh, hurry, hurry, hit the cassette.
Hit the crying cassette. Relatives to the side. Like,
Damn it, Jim, you forgot to rewind the cassette. Damn it.
Get the pencil. that's awesome.
Well, I think that's gonna never have to deal with a cassette.
Yeah, I think that's gonna wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am so glad to be back and chat with my lovely co-host Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller.
Now,
you guys,
next week, free agency.
Yeah,
we
man,
had some
Wednesday.
juicy news. Kirk Cousins could be enjoying the cold weather up here, apparently. Nice little 3-year, $91 million all guaranteed deal.
Only time shall tell.
And Stephon Diggs shares cheering. Ooh. I'm so excited.
I bought him before the end of the season in my home dynasty league, so I'm all for this happening.
Oh,
I
yeah.
To happen.
And also, you guys got any defensive players that you guys want to kind of quickly mention?
Oh, right. Wow. I forgot.
Defensive players. Before we go, I know that was a preemptive.
Yeah, you have to edit that out, Tyler. It was terrible.
We don't do it.
I actually do have. I have some defensive players. May I go first?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
So I think the number one big one, so the Seminole that did test well at the combine, Derwin James, holy F, what a freak. He's exactly what we thought he was going to be. You know, he played the same role that Jalen Ramsey played for Florida State. He played, you know, down linebacker. He played safety. He can play corner. I think that he solidified himself as a top 12 pick after his combine. Just a 4.48 40, and he got slow out of the box on those 240s. So on his pro day, I'd expect him to, well, obviously no pro days, but I expect him to test a little bit faster. 40-inch vertical. He killed the reps on the bench. Like, he's exactly what we thought he was going to be. So I think Derwin James solidifies himself as a top 12 pick.
Now, going to James,
yeah,
they mentioned that Nyheim Himes ran a 4.38, and Derwin James caught up
ran
to him
down.
In game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, that says everything you need to know about Derwin James.
Derwin did play inconsistent at Florida State, but I think part of that was because Charles Kelly was one of the worst defensive coordinators in the nation.
Injuries, too.
For the last couple of years, he was hurt. He missed almost all of the 2016 season. So, yeah, Derwin James is a freak, and I'm going to have a lot of fun rostering him in IDP leagues, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one, I mean, I think this one's obvious, and I think everyone can root for this kid. Shaquem Griffin with the 4.38. What?
Yep.
And then Roquan Smith was everything that I wanted him to be.
Yep.
Oh, what do you got for IDP, guys? Do you got anyone you want to mention?
What's his name from Boston College? I forgot.
Harold Landry?
Yeah, his draft stock. And who's the linebacker that was for Virginia Tech?
Tremaine Edmonds.
Holy crap.
Edwards?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be...
He's a lot of people's linebacker one.
He is going to be an Anthony Barr plus type player. Like, just, you could throw him anywhere. You could probably throw him at deep safety and he could play. And my favorite is Sweat from Florida State. Just the drills. And very, very high recruited guy. And he showed the reason why.
Yeah, like, if he can stay healthy. Health is a big thing with him. And then, again, Charles Kelly with the terrible scheming.
Man, just destroyed the combine. But, man, I'm with you on Derwin James. He's a guy that's going to get close to 100-plus tackles. He's going to get some turnovers. He's going to be everywhere. He is a safety.
I want to see Washington draft him.
He is a safety you are going to want to pick in IDP and early because... He's going to be the all-around good safety. Like a Keanu
Neal.
He's going to
come down and play in the box.
Like Keanu Neal. Mm-hmm. Tons of tackles. But I think he could actually create more turnovers than Keanu does.
That's possible.
I got a couple guys here. One's an edge rusher out of the University of San Antonio. I'm sorry, the University of Texas San Antonio. He's a road runner. Marcus Davenport. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to pressure the quarterback at the next level, get you those IDP sack points you're looking for. And then it's not the most sexy position, but defensive tackle. The kid out of Alabama, Deron Payne. Yeah, Deron Payne.
That's
311 pounds is what he weighed in at.
He was moving.
And he ran a 4.95. Like, most people can't run a 4.95, let alone people that weigh 311 pounds. This large man can move.
Are you going to say Vita Vey?
I was going to say Vita Vey with a 5.11 was pretty impressive.
What? They replayed him, and I'm like, that guy looks like he's got fire under his ass because he is moving.
It is.
Yeah, he's a roadblock.
Like,
And they have him going to Atlanta? That's another dear
replace
Jesus.
Dontari Poe.
It's another dear Jesus wish.
I like watching the big boys. I like watching the D-line and the O-line guys move because it just blows my mind seeing just a human that large be able to move that gracefully. I mean, these guys are super, super athletic. It's crazy to see.
It's definitely, as a former guy that used to be that big, I can appreciate
a
moving
guy that
at that
big,
speed
moving that fast, yeah.
At 320 or 330 pounds, because I'm pretty agile when it comes to sports, but I can't move that fast.
Yeah.
God no.
They're moving.
Yeah, they're probably one of the most amazing athletes to watch just because of the sheer mass.
Now in honor of Dynasty Frank, any kicker takes?
I watched the kickers run the 40 because they were the first ones to run the 40 on the combine.
I know. No, I'm kidding. No kicker takes ever.
You have to go to CD Carter for official kicker takes.
Yep.
He's the official kicker guy. So I think that's going to wrap us up. Great pod, guys. Again, I am very happy to be back. So you can find the boys on Twitter. Tyler, you can find him at DHH_Tyler. Tim, you're at DHH underscore Tim, yeah?
I've made it very easy for you, yes.
Ah, I know you guys change your handles around. I am at DaFantasyFather. I'm not changing it. It's my thing. It's my hashtag brand, I guess. So until next week, we're going to have an awesome show lined up for you guys. We're probably going to be talking some free agents, which is one of my favorite times of the year. This period of time is my favorite time in Dynasty. When you have the combine, or you have the Senior Bowl combine, you have free agency, then you have the draft, and then you have your rookie drafts. That's my favorite 2 or 3 months in all of Dynasty football.
This is the buy low. This is the buy low opportunities. Like, this is where you're like, oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna look at you. I'm gonna look at you.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna be here to guide you through all those buy lows, those sell highs, those drafts, those rookies. Tim.
This is when the NFL teams just begin to start to tell you their stories of what they think about themselves, who they're targeting in free agency, the players that they draft at the draft. This is when the teams really start to tell you what they think about themselves, and you can start using that knowledge to formulate your opinions a little bit more on these players on these teams.
Absolutely. So until next week, we will see you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye now. See you later. Come again. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
I'm not gonna go.
's all the time we have today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Follow Doug at DaFantasyFather. And finally, John at EmpireFFL. Follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.